This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts. bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
Hello. Culture and communication is the topic of this programme from the Talk About English series, Who on Earth Are We? Communication's done so naturally by all of us that we take it for granted, and we don't think very much about what happens when we communicate. We just think, well, we're all human, and we all communicate, therefore communication must be easy, and it must be universal. But, in fact, communication isn't a simple process at all, as Mark Beebe finds out.
Communication seems such a normal thing to do that we tend to think that everyone, no matter where they're from, will communicate in the same way that we do. But, as we've heard in previous programmes, normal is a difficult word to pin down. Take a business meeting, for example. How should a normal business meeting be run? What sort of language should you use? Here's Ailey Hamilton, who's recently been living in Syria in the Middle East, on two very different ideas of normal business behaviour.
In terms of business, a Westerner would definitely go in with things they want to talk about, things they want to achieve, and preferably within the minimum amount of time. In the Middle East, an Arab would look at it from a very different perspective. They would see that as a social interaction, and as such, it must be introduced in the same way as any meeting with friends. You would always be invited to sit down, you'd be served a glass of water that's hot, followed by a cup of coffee. You would make talk about your family, what you had been doing, and it might be 20 minutes before the actual topic for the meeting comes up. So I think if someone went in and said, well, this is what we're suggesting, what do you think? They might well be dismissed out of hand, purely because of their manners, rather than because of what they're actually proposing.
As Ailey Hamilton makes clear, successful communication isn't just a question of getting the language right. It's also a question of using language that's right for the situation. And what's right for the situation will vary according to the things that people in a culture think are important. But language, our verbal communication, is only one way we have of communicating. We also communicate non-verbally. We use body language. We vary the sound of our voices to express emotions like surprise or anger. Our faces can communicate all sorts of things, as can our eyes. And, of course, we think the way we use non-verbal communication is normal. I like to use my hands when I'm talking. In fact, I'm using them now. I also think looking people in the eyes is a good thing. So perhaps I need to be careful when I meet someone from, say, Japan, as Kyung Ja Yu, who spent the last 7 years in London, explains.
We don't use body language. I wouldn't say not at all, but we don't use our hands or arms or when we are talking. Whenever I go back to Tokyo, my friends tells me that I became more and more like gaijin. Gaijin means foreigner, westerner. Then I realized the way I speak, maybe I use my hands as I speak English. And then also I try to catch the eyes a lot. But in Japan, especially women, really doesn't stare the people. Looking at people intensely is a rude thing to do in Japan.
Kyung Ja Yu. It's easy to think that nonverbal communication isn't really very important. After all, if people understand the words we're saying, they'll get the message, won't they? Not necessarily. Rebecca Fong.
In 1967, some researchers conducted an experiment on everyday communication situations. And what they tested was how much of the communication was through facial expression, how much came through the context and intonation, and finally, how much of the meaning of the conversation was transmitted through language itself. Their extraordinary findings were that 55% of the meaning came through facial expression, 38% of the meaning came through intonation and what was understood from the context, and only 7% of meaning was transmitted through language itself. So in fact, the actual verbal content, the words that you use in a conversation, are not as important as you might think.
Rebecca Fong. Clearly, non-verbal ways of communicating our messages are vital to the communication process. And we'll be looking at non-verbal communication in more detail in our next programme. As Rebecca says, the words you use in a conversation aren't as important as you might think. In fact, one of the big differences between cultures is how important a culture thinks words in general are. Many academic studies of culture make a distinction between verbal cultures, cultures that value and enjoy talk, argument, explanation, and non-verbal cultures, where people respect listening, silence, social harmony. Here's Rebecca again with comments from Dr. George Zhang from China, Dion Charmaine from Jamaica, and Emma Kambangula from Namibia.
Cultures are verbal to different degrees, by which I mean some cultures like to talk more than others. And this goes back to the idea that we mentioned that language is organised according to the values that your culture holds most dear. So, for example, if you come from a culture in which social harmony is valued, then you'll probably be less verbal because you'll be less willing to get into arguments with other people because that would destroy the harmony.
In Chinese language, you would find examples where people would use their expressions more sort of indirectly, particularly compared with, for instance, like English language. And you don't tend to say things in a very direct manner. You're not encouraged to say that I don't really like it, for instance. You would say in a sort of a runabout way, and just giving people a hint that you probably don't like it. Everybody who knows about Chinese culture, as well as even Japanese culture, would understand very rarely people use the word no.
Verbal cultures value talk, and they like to articulate ideas and reason out loud and in public. If you come from a verbal culture, you need to think about the effect that you'll have if you talk a lot in a non-verbal culture.
Jamaicans as a people, we're very, very, very proud people, and they have a lot to say about a lot of things. When we believe in something, we tend to put that across very passionately, and it can come over as being too direct or aggressive or too insensitive sometimes, but it's just that they're so passionate.
The opposite side of the story is that cultures use silence very differently. If you come from a verbal culture, then long silences might make you feel rather nervous or might make you feel uncomfortable. But there are cultures which value silence because it does maintain social harmony, and in these cultures, silence is considered a much more positive thing.
I think Namibia is more of a silent culture, but I prefer our way of communicating than being loud and letting everyone know, because we believe in Namibia not to hang your dirty laundry in public. We are kind of quiet people.
BBClearningEnglish.com.
The distinction between cultures that like to talk, verbal cultures, and non-verbal cultures, where people feel that talk can sometimes be a problem, affects two very important areas of communication: how we deal with problems and disagreements, or conflicts, and how we manage or take turns during a conversation. Here, Rebecca gets help from Rajni Badlani from India and Emma from Namibia.
If we look at the issue of turn-taking, imagine you're in a conversation and you come to the end of what you want to say, somebody will take over from you to continue the conversation. And later, you will take over from them. So the conversation goes backwards and forwards, a bit like a game of tennis, if you like. Turn-taking is very different from culture to culture.
The turn-taking conventions are very different. We interrupt very differently than, say, the people in the West do. I mean, we don't wait for the person to finish the point. I mean, if we have something to say, we don't think it rude to intervene.
Not all of our everyday communication is to do with exchanging ideas. Quite a lot of it is to do with dealing with problems and conflict. And how every culture deals with these confrontations in a different way is known as cultural confrontation styles.
Communication-wise in Namibia, we do have a culture of listening. At the same time, my way of arguing is not answering back. I'll just listen to what this person is saying, whether they are right or wrong, and come back at a time when they have calmed down and talk to them in a calm way. But if you are silent and you don't know how to answer the person, you can come back with a second person and this person can be your spokesperson. That's how we communicate also in Namibia.
When I first went to work in Japan, I was working with a group of American trainers on the one hand and the Japanese on the other hand. So in a way, I was caught between two cultures with which I wasn't really very familiar. And I soon started to notice differences in confrontation styles. So that when the Americans had a problem, they would very quickly want to get the problem out into the open, verbally, argue it, discuss it, and this would make them feel better and the problem would go away. With the Japanese, on the other hand, you'd come into work one day and you'd know, you could feel it in the air, that there was a problem, something was wrong. But nobody said anything. And you could feel this for a succession of days, it might have been 2 or 3 days sometimes, and still no one would say anything. And then finally, one day, you'd come into work, and you could feel that the air had cleared. Whatever the problem had been, it had disappeared. I've always wondered which was better.
And of course, as Rebecca Fong would be the first to say, there is no better. There's just different. The important thing, as we've said in previous programmes, is to be aware of these different communication styles and to think about how we like to communicate. If we do this, it can help us find ways of avoiding communication problems when we meet people from foreign cultures and teach us a lot about our own.
That was Mark Beebe ending this edition of Who on Earth Are We? Next time, the topic is culture and nonverbal communication. Join us then.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.